go to church every Sunday.
I was raised Catholic.
I was born Catholic or raised Catholic, yeah.
Yeah, I don't go to church.
I go to church every Sunday, and I'm delighted to do so, to praise and thank God.
I have some doubts on the Catholic religion.
I never became angry at God. I just became fed up with the people he left in charge.
It's been a dramatic week at the Vatican, and it's only Tuesday. With just 3 days left in his tenure, Pope Benedict is making key decisions. First, he's changed the rules to allow his replacement to be named as soon as possible. Then he decided to keep confidential a report on an alleged gay network at the Vatican. Whoever succeeds Pope Benedict faces challenges that will impact New England's large Catholic community, and that's why this week WGBH Radio brings you focus coverage on the changing Catholic Church. WGBH Radio's Philip Martin explores the divide in church doctrine from traditional to progressive.
I've just entered the cavernous vestibule of the Holy Cross Cathedral. At this hour, there are two different masses being held in two different languages, two visions for the future. In the upper church, a mass hymnal in English. In the basement chapel, in Latin. A staircase separates the two, but it could just as well be separated by centuries of religious traditions. Following his election in 2005, Pope Benedict XVI affirmed his belief in conservative Catholic doctrine and promoted the symbols of traditionalism, including vestments and the Latin Mass.
As if Jesus himself spoke Latin, or as if he conducted the Mass wearing vestments.
James Carroll, a former seminarian, is distinguished scholar in residence at Suffolk University. He says, like conservative Catholic doctrine, the Latin Mass is a throwback to the pre-Vatican II era. And for many folks, that's appealing.
The truth is, there was something beautiful about it. It was coherent. It was orderly. There was an answer to every question. And symbolized, say, by the Gothic cathedral, the epitome of all that we loved about the Catholic Church. But the astonishing thing is that this beautiful, coherent, Gothic edifice that was Catholicism, there was something deeply, deeply inhuman and corrupt in it.
Vatican II in the early 60s was a response to centuries-old stagnation within the church, says Carroll. And so Catholicism, constructed as a Gothic fortress against external and internal forces, opened up, if only slightly, to new modern-day realities. But in 2013, the doors are shut again, says Eileen Doherty.
The way the Roman Catholic Church is going now is they're excluding more people than helping.
Under an iron gray sky streaked with rain, Doherty and others are passing out flyers in front of the cathedral. She's a member of the Spirit of Life community, a Catholic lay organization whose members believe in the ordination of women as priests, gay marriage, contraception, and abortion under some circumstances. She accuses Cardinal Sean O'Malley and the church hierarchy of abandoning the poor.
We have to be there for the people who can't speak for themselves to make some changes, the necessary changes that have to happen for the church.
Do those changes include doctrine?
Yes, because, I mean, the gospel of Jesus is not being adhered to because Jesus was there for those that were deprived, and they're not my church. I don't find that they are true to the gospel.
Doherty says that Catholic doctrine, the way that gospel is taught and interpreted, must change to accommodate progressive viewpoints. But traditionalists in the church are pushing back.
Jesus, our only hope in this life and the life to come.
As passengers dart through the subway in downtown Crossing, they pass through a gauntlet of conservative activists passing out religious flyers. Ross Dutcher, a Catholic from Wakefield, hands me a pamphlet. What does he think of progressive claims to the church?
They're not really Catholic. I mean, they're against the doctrine. The church's doctrine doesn't change.
How should the Catholic Church, in your view, in the context of doctrine, accommodate those folks who believe that women should be ordained?
Just tell them the truth. Jesus ordained only men.
But Ray Flynn, former U.S. ambassador to the Vatican and a traditionalist, says that the church is fundamentally open to new ideas.
I've seen the Catholic Church in Ghana, in Mexico City, in Sarajevo, in the Middle East. How do you bring those traditions of culture into what we as Americans know the Catholic Church to be consistent with our culture? That's the challenge. Not by changing doctrine, but by changing attitudes and making it more open and more inclusive.
Larry Kessler describes this as tinkering around the edges of change, not change itself. Kessler has spent most of his life working with AIDS victims in clinics and in hospices, and now heads the Boston Living Center, a facility assisting people to live with HIV. He attended Catholic schools and even went into the seminary.
And I guess I would say that I've been a very practicing activist in the church for 40 years. But recently, I have had some serious doubts about whether I should hang in there any longer.
Kessler says he was hopeful following Vatican II, which gave lay people a greater role in church life. But he says the current Catholic hierarchy is mired in scandals and not receptive to change from below.
Pews are getting more empty every Sunday because it's not listening or speaking to the people that used to come to those pews. And it's larger than the sexual abuse crisis. It's a lack of leadership, lack of vision, a lack of a coherent policy. And at times, you know, the church continues, in my mind, to act like it's not related to Jesus Christ.
Kessler says that instead of advocating for the kind of people he assists, he believes Catholic bishops, including Cardinal O'Malley, have directed their political energies into fighting contraception, abortion, and gay marriage.
The Catholic Church has acted more like the Republican Party, and we know what kind of trouble the Republican Party's in, because they've lost touch with people who need strong government. Well, in terms of the church, we've lost trust in the bishops because they're not really being very Christ-like.
But former Boston Mayor Ray Flynn, himself a longtime advocate for the poor, strongly disagrees.
There are advocates for change, but the change is completely inconsistent with Catholic doctrine. The Catholic Church is not going to change its doctrine. Anybody that suggests that is trying to make headlines.
Francis Fiorenza, a professor of Catholic theology at Harvard's Divinity School, says traditionalism and progressivism are not necessarily incompatible.
And all one has to say is this is where the church is today. And the only way to do it is maybe, again, to kind of develop a kind of mutual respect to say, well, what is the side that doesn't want change afraid of? And what do they really want to hold on to? And what are those who want change? They're not wanting to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. And then we need to try to understand the positions of both. And you also would have to ask the question is, what in modern culture is positive that demands change?
Okay, as you think about that question, another word or two about Francis Fiorenza. He studied theology in Germany. His teacher, Joseph Ratzinger, who took the name Pope Benedict XVI, a resolute conservative. So Fiorenza's answer to what in modern culture is positive and demands change may surprise you.
If I take a controversial issue, let's say like woman's ordination, there, I think change is possible.
John Allen says not likely. Allen is national senior correspondent for the Catholic Reporter and is in Rome covering the election to succeed Benedict XVI.
You know, bear in mind, every one of the 117 cardinals who will vote in this election were appointed either by Pope John Paul II or Pope Benedict XVI. And on, at the big picture level, they're all of like mind. And so I think it is quite unrealistic to think that whoever is elected pope is going to revise the church's teaching on issues like abortion or gay marriage or the ordination of women.
But Boston Globe essayist James Carroll, who's witnessed the church evolve from a legacy of anti-Semitism to an embrace of civil rights, says never say never in the context of Catholic doctrine.
It's because we've had the breakthrough already, the breakthrough into the world of change. And what's the most palpable recent instance of that? Pope Benedict himself, by changing a practice of the church that's 1,000 years old, that popes don't resign. Well, yes, they do. And the church of Benedict will never be the same.
But some Catholics are not waiting for the outcome of the conclave. Eileen Doherty, passing out progressive literature in front of the Cathedral of the Holy Cross.
This church is an apparition of a Catholic doctrine.
And Ross Dutcher, a conservative handing out flyers on the Red Line platform.
Women ordained, you know, same-sex marriage, contraception, you know, and the church isn't going to go that way.
Are waging a spiritual battle, if you will, for the heart and soul of the Roman Catholic Church, which they both claim as their own. Philip Martin, WGBH Boston Public Radio.
The last time a pope resigned, it was 600 years ago, and like today, the church was also in the middle of turmoil. Tomorrow at this time, we continue our focused coverage of the changing Catholic Church. Ibi Caputo will bring us the local and historical perspective when a pope resigns. That's tomorrow on WGBH Radio.